Reparshas Chukas. So we are familiarizing ourselves with the concept of a chok. So the question becomes, what is that take supposed to be on something which is a chok? So on the one hand, since we were little kids, we always learned that paradum is something that we never really understand. And there are so many other chukim that we can't really grasp the reason for. And should we take almost that like defeatist attitude, like, well, we never really understand anyway, so then why bother? Why should we begin to delve into it? We'll just figure out what it is. We're not going to ask why anything is. Amarati Echma v'Yerchaikim Imeni, Shlomo Melech said, specifically concerning Paraduma, should that be our take on the Chukei HaTorah? Or maybe we should take a different view of the Chukei HaTorah. Maybe we should take the view that let's try to grasp it if we can't understand. Let's try, maybe we can learn a lesson. Maybe there is something in the 21st century we could walk away with from learning the Sugyas of Paraduma, something that could impact on our religious development, on our character development, on our personality. Maybe there is something that we can walk away with that's tangible, it's practical, even from something as esoteric as Paraduma. So what should our approach be to this topic? So the truth is, if you just simply read Rashi's in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, you seem to get contradictory messages from Rashi himself. Because Rashi starts off the parasha by saying, Zos Chukas HaTorah, this is the way it is. Even the word Zos, that the first word in describing the chayk par excellence, Zos means, kach hazeh, this is the way it is. Don't ask any questions. Don't philosophize. Don't say shtickle teiris. Zos, kazeh, this is it. This is all there is, there ain't no more. Zos Chukas HaTorah. And Rashi says very, very clearly, it's a chok and you're never going to really understand. And then all of a sudden, Rashi begins to change his tune. At the end of the Aliyah about Paraduma, all of a sudden, Rashi introduces to us this beautiful medrash, this beautiful allegory of Yavei Ha'eim, V'kaneach Tzayas Ha'bein. The mother comes and has to clean up after the child. And all of a sudden, the Paraduma has meaning to us. It is a throwback to Parshas Kisisa. It has something to do with the Egel Hazov. And Klal Yisrael dirtied themselves and soiled themselves with the Egel Hazov. And now they require a kapara. And the Paraduma is that kapara. And therefore, all the actions of Paraduma are beautifully, allegorically, fit so wonderfully into the nuances of the Chet HaEgel. It's Elazar, and it's Mitzvah Sebiskan. And you can learn so many important lessons from the Paraduma. You could act in humility, and because you're a Baal Gaiva, that's why you become an Ovid for the Zorah. Beautiful Medrash. Mamash, a sermon to beat all sermons on a Shabbos morning in Shul. Rashi gives you a beautiful presentation of Parshas Chukas. I don't understand, what is Parshas Chukas? Is Parshas Chukas a din? It's a halacha. I think we quoted, Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon, didn't we quote it here the last couple of days? No. Where did I just say this? About different styles of learning between Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon. I thought I said it here. Okay. The Reb Chaim and Brisk, they never ask why. They always ask what. You have to define what it is. It's a gavra. It's a chavtza. It's a pa'ula. It's a chalois. It's a maisa. You don't find Reb Chaim asking, so taka, why is it a gavra? Why is it a gavra? That's their better show. It's cash. It's not my cash. What? It is a gavra. That's what Reb Chaim is learning. Reb Shimon Shkaf, in his Svarim, very often you find, why is it so? Why does the Torah give us a Sajidara? Why is it a Maisa? Why is it a Chalais? Why is it a Pula? Why is it a Gavra? Why? He used to joke in Europe, he used to say, Reb Shimon is Dorish time of the Krah. Gemara says that the Tana Reb Shimon would be Dervish the time of the Kura, and then Halachas would depend upon what the Tam Hadava was. So Shimon Shkop was the Dervish time of the Kura. So what's that take supposed to be? The first half of Rashi is a Brisker Rashi, the second half is a Grodner Rashi. Which one is it? Is it Kachazeh, Zeis Chukas HaTorah, or is it something that we're supposed to delve into? So this almost discrepancy in this Rashi is a theme that appears in the Rambam in a few places as well. The Rambam, in a few places, addresses different mitzvahs HaTorah that are fundamentally chukim, and the Rambam tells us that, in no uncertain terms, the following halacha is a gzeres HaKosov. It's a chayk HaMelech, it's a gzeres HaMelech, and ein lechoshes laharach harel. Don't ask any kashyas. They're not going to really understand it anyway. The Rambam has that lashon the end of Sefer Tahara when it comes to tefillah b'mikvah. And then the Rambam says, not only concerning tefillah b'mikvah, but concerning all of Tumah v'Tahara, it's a chayik, it's a gezeira, come on, you're never going to really understand what this is all about. Don't even waste your time, says the Rambam. And yet, almost in the same breath, the last Rambam, Menuchas Mikvos, gives you a beautiful metaphor about what tefillah b'mikvah is all about. You're going into the water, and the water is a metaher, and so too the water of knowledge is a metaher. I mean, you go into the mikveh, you have to go entirely in, you can't have a chatzitza, we just learned about, and so too when you go into Torah, you have to immerse yourself totally in the world of Torah, in the water of life, no chatzitzas, no dora machbeh. Oh, beautiful, down to the last minor detail as to what the imagery of tefillah b'mikveh is all about. So when the person goes to the mikveh, what's their mindset? Is their mindset it? I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense to me. This is the elemas al yayinim. And there's nothing I can walk away with that has any meaning to me. I just do it because that's the way the Rebbeinu Shem created the world. Kachazeh. What do I say? No. I go into that mikveh. Wow. It's a beautiful story. And I come out inspired. I come out enlightened. I come out, wow, I'm a different person. I just walked out of Ummah and I'm out of Lagami. Fatuli Shacher. Or do I come out of the mikveh saying, Apidin, I used to be an Avatuma. Now I've been tohor, I can have truma, I can have my sir, I have to wait till Har Shemesh, Tadin, Kachazeh. What is this feeling of mikvah? I don't know. On the one end, the Rambam told me it's a chayik. On the other end, the Rambam told me this beautiful imagery of allegory. And the Rambam does almost the identical thing with kim'at the exact same lashon in Uchas Tshuva. The Rambam talks about another mitzvah, which is the gezeiras hamelech. We have no idea why we do it. Even on the days when we don't get the gardeners, we get the vacuumers. We get to something about our share time. Even if we give share 10:30, we just attract noise. So I'm like, maybe just go to she vacuuming, you know, isn't she? Ask him if she can tell him to push it off. You know, I'll do other things in the choir. Hold off on there for a second. I think it's vacuuming. No? Sounds like vacuuming. Okay, hang in, guys. Hang in. This is just time to contemplate the words of the Rambam. To think, you know. Like you're back at Ummah. Good? What? Okay, shkach. So comes the Rambam in Cheshuva and addresses the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar. And the Rambam says, you want to know why we blow shofar? I can't tell you why I blow shofar. Blowing shofar, gzer samelechi. About as much as we know why we do paraduma, that's why we blow shofar. And then the very next line, the Rambam says, and by the way, you know why you blow shofar? He just got finished telling you we have no idea why. He says, well, I'll tell you why you blow shofar. Uri Yishayna Mishnaschem. It's a wake-up call, it's an alarm to wake up. Rosh Hashanah is a time of tshuva. It's a yayim adin. Gevaldik chibsu v'maseichem. Hashoichem is an emes b'havli hazman. The Rambam, all of a sudden, the Rambam takes off the hat of a briska with a kazer, kakacha, kzeres akosov. And all of a sudden, the Rambam is wearing the hat of a mashkiach and yeshiva, and he's giving you a musa shmus for chadashel. And he's telling you, chibsu v'maseichem. He's now the rabbi giving fire and brimstone, musa before tekiyah shofar. What is supposed to go into your mind at tekiyah shofar? Are you supposed to be just having in mind tekiyah, shvarim, tekiyah, briska, 1.5 seconds, 2 seconds, this tree, 3 kelos, 5 kelos, this, that's it. Kachazek, there's a cross of, don't escape. There's nothing deep, esoteric. There's no spiritual message for you. Just do the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and call it a day. Or no, are we supposed to delve deeper into this and come up with some beautiful religious experiences that we are encountering through the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar? So time and time again, we're getting almost contradictory messages from the Rishonim. What our take is on these mitzvahs that we don't really understand, but should we try to make believe, at least fake ourselves out to think that we do understand? What is the purpose? What are we supposed to be doing when we're laying Pashas Chukas? So the Rambam, the very last Rambam, Nuchas Me'ilah, has a fascinating presentation. The Rambam writes in Pre'ches Lachaches Nuchas Me'ilah, Ro'i Mo'odom, it is fitting for a person. And here's the Rambam at the end of the Sefer, the end of each of the Sfarim of the Rambam, Rambam gives you some kind of Dibre Chizuk. Royim Adam Lisbonein B'mishpatei HaTorah Kedosha. It is worthy for a person to be misbonein, to try to understand, try to comprehend, in the Mishpatei HaTorah, V'leida Sof Inyanam Kefi Kocho. To try to understand the essence, the Sof Dover of the Inyani HaTorah as best as one can. V'dover Shlo Yimtza Loitam. If a person doesn't succeed, he may try and try to knock his head against the wall, can't find anything that's meaningful to him. And he can't figure out any reason for why he's doing. He really doesn't understand this religion. He should not take the attitude that, well, if I don't understand it, it's not for me. There must be something deficient in the mitzvah. Pasuk right out of Pashas Yisrael. Don't take that attitude that if you don't understand it, so then you can be parents get there. You don't have to observe it. A person should not think about the words of Torah like he thinks about other dibrei chol, about other mundane things. If I don't understand it, I don't do it. We generally speaking have that attitude in life. We live in a very logical, rational society. But I don't understand, I don't do. Borei, says the Rambam, let me come and prove to you just how dangerous this approach is. What you don't understand, you don't do. Kamech mir teib me'ila. That's what the Rambam appears here in the end of the Chizmir. The Torah is very machmir in me'ila if you use something from Hekdesh. Uma im eitzim ve'avon im ve'ofa ve'efer. Sticks and stones and dust, which are meaningless. They're not important. Why can't I use a brick of the Beis HaMikdash? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name has been imprinted upon it. Somebody said it's Harei Zekeidish Lashem. Someone was Makavit as a carbon Lashem. And therefore, if a person treats these Dvarim Kadoshim in a light manner, he is trespassing against HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chved v'yatzmai. Even if he did it unintentionally, to a kapara. So the Rambam kalvachoyme, how much more so the mitzvahs shechokak lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvahs of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put his name on them. He's signing off on mitzvah Torah. Shelo yivayit adam bahen. A person shouldn't kick them. B'nei shelo yeid the time, just because he doesn't understand the reason for them. Shelo yechapit dvar b'shelochein al Hashem. Person shouldn't just think, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what he's doing. So the Rambam says we have to learn a musar, learn a musar from Ila. Don't take mitzvahs lightly. Badach, you can't take jewelry of the Beis Hamikdash lightly. You can't take sticks and stones of the Beis Hamikdash lightly. Kavachom, you can't take the mitzvah of Hashem Yisbarach lightly. And now the Rambam continues and says, and therefore, what do you have to do? How do we avoid that pitfall? The Torah says multiple times to be shame the chukim in the mishpatim. Since the Torah mentions shmir and asiya for both chukim and mishpatim, the Torah is equating the two. What does shmir as a chukim mean? What does shmir as a mishpatim mean? So first, the Rambam tells you what asiya means. Asiya is easy. Asiya, you do it. Everyone knows what the word asiya means. To do the mitzvahs. Asiya means I'm keeping Shabbos, I'm putting on tefillin, I'm eating matzah, I'm not eating treif. That's called asiya mitzvahs. The hashmira, what does it mean to be shayim of the mitzvahs? Sheyizoya ba'en v'lo yidmeh shehein p'chusim in ha-mishpatim. Says the Rambam, you know what shmira sachukim means? Shmira sachukim means that a person shouldn't take the attitude that the chukim are any less important for the world than the mishpatim. Nobody in their right mind would ever say the mishpatim are silly. No intelligent person would ever say gezel. That's the silliest thing in the world. Shvichas dam. What do we need ritzicha for? What do we need ritzicha for? What do you keep it avayim for? Those are mishpatim. Those are obvious. Just as any thinking person realizes that the obvious mitzvahs are there to keep the world going. Without the Nisa Gez, the world couldn't exist. That level of confidence in the significance of the Mishpatim, it has to be reached in the understanding of the Chukim as well. Says the Rambam, the mitzvah of Shmiras HaChukim means to give significance to those parts of Torah that you don't understand. That's what it means to be Shomer HaChukim. Same way it's understood, you're going to give significance to the Mishpatim. Any thinking, rational person will understand significance of Mishpatim. To give the level of significance to the Chukim, that's the mitzvah of Shmiras HaChukim. How do you do that? How do you reach that high level of Shmiras HaChukim? So here I think the answer is also obvious. The Sifrei tells us in the Pasuk, Ushmartem v'asisem. V'asisem, I understand. Posbet Ushmartem, Zohar Mishnah. To learn. When you learn the Chukim, when you learn the Dini HaTorah, when you involve yourself in Limud HaTorah, even if those things that you don't rationally understand, they become part of you. You begin to fall in love with them. You realize that the parasha of the Paraduma, yes, I don't really understand it, but it must be unbelievable because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to me, it must be amazing. The Lomdus and Ben Sarah Meira were learning the secrets of Ben Sarah Meira. Not really, but what make you believe they learned Ben Sarah Meira. It never happened, Lohoye V'Oyiyah, but it's Chochmas Hashem Yisbarach. Without Ben Sarah Meira, the Torah is Choser. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochmas, this world wouldn't be complete without Yer Nidachas. Without Pitzer Meri, without Bais HaMenuga. Every single part of Torah, both the parts that's easy to understand, the part that speaks to our religious personality, and the part that is so far removed from our understanding, so esoteric, it's so not Lamaisa, it so doesn't speak to me. I'm learning the third pack of Yevamas, and four brothers are married, four sisters. Who cares? What does it have to do with religion? What does it have to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a great question until you open up the Gemara and start to learn. The minute that you start to learn, all of a sudden you come to the realization, this is Chochmas Elokim, this is it. This is amazing. I don't understand a word of it. Not that I don't understand the sugya, I don't understand. I don't understand what this is. It's okay. Wow, this is Shmiras HaMitzvos. They've been learning Torah, the more a person delves into Limud HaTorah, the more a person appreciates the Amkus of Limud HaTorah, the more he will become a Shomer HaChukim V'Yaseh HaMishpat. So what's that take, Rabbi Yisai? What's that take on the Chukim? Going back to the Rashis and the Stevers and Rambams. So the answer is, in our heart and soul, we know that we will never really understand the Chukim. The Ava Pichain, we're in love with them. Ava Pichain will give the same excitement, the same slavos when we learn the Sugas of Paraduma as we learn the Sugas of Ritzicha. It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference to me whether I'm learning Sugas that are so off the beaten path or Sugas that we know keep the world going, because we have Amunah Veshleimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Teshem to be Mishpat Nefesh. The Chukim are as important as the Mishpatim. There's a mitzvah shmir on both, equally so. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chaste HaGodol, He wanted to give us this Chukim which He created us B'chachmasa, that our human intellect can never fully grasp. We can't ask a kasha why HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us certain, why He created us with certain limitations. Kadosh Baruch Hu knew what He was doing. Next time you want to create a world, you try and do a better job. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with certain limited human capacity. So part of those capacities are we can't quite understand the Chukim. But Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chaste ha'gozol b'tuvei ha'gozol said to us, even though I'm going to give you mitzvahs that you have to have, you need the Chukim also, the world needs the Chukim, and you'll never really understand them, but I'm going to build into the system little ta'ame ha-mitzvahs, a gishmak, a taste of a mitzvah. A little something that even the Chukim can speak to. You could walk away from learning Maseches Para and have some deep religious experience from it. You could walk away from learning Sigas of Shatnez and say, you know, there is some metaphor, there is some allegory, there is some message, there is some philosophical truth, there is something that can impact spiritually that I can speak to, not just these olamos alyonim. There's something that does mean something to me. Is the Rebbe spent this year in yeshiva learning all the sugas of chulin and bas b'cholov. So bas b'cholov at the end of the day is chukim and gezeiris, and we don't understand. Are the messages we can learn from because kashrus? Can kashrus teach us about self-control? Can kashrus teach us about how to limit our desires in this world? Can kashrus teach us certain messages about how to address the physical pursuits of pleasure? Absolutely. That's what kashrus is all about. No. Kashrus is the olamos alyonim, it's from the chukas and the gederos, things that we'll never truly understand. But can we walk away with something that speaks to us? Absolutely. You can learn all of Seder Taharis, and you really understand why Azav is telling me this, and Uktzin is this, and come on, who are you kidding? You don't really understand. But you can look at a mikveh and say, I may not understand the essence of what a mikveh is, but there's a beautiful imagery, a beautiful message that Kadosh Baruch Hu built into the mikveh. And that is, you could simply go into a body of water, or either a physical body of water or a spiritual body of water. You can immerse yourself in Torah and come out a very, very different person. You can purify yourself in the Yam HaTalmud. That's a beautiful lesson you can walk away with. And when it comes time on Rosh Hashanah to blow shofar, what's really happening in the shofar, the Olamos Alyonim, you know, we could make believe and read all the Svarim and talk about the Rosh Hashanah going from the Kisei Adin to the Kisei Arach. I mean, come on, we have no idea what any of that means. Okay? We get ourselves all psyched up. We're up in the Bamish, we're going up to the seven Rikias, and the Olamos Alyonim, it's all nice and cute, and we know that something really special is going on. We don't have a clue what's really happening, but we think, we know something's happening, we just quite can't pin down. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? There's something for every single Jew. Listen to the shofar. It's a wake-up call to be chayz b'tshuva. What a beautiful message the Kodesh Baruch Hu built into the Olamos Alyonim. The Olamos Alyonim come down to Olamos HaTachtayim for us as well. But at the same time that the mitzvahs are Amayit Yechma B'Yuchayim, the Chukim are up there, and Shmir HaChukim is necessary for us to accept that reality, and the Chukim are as important as the Mishpat, if you don't understand them. Kodesh Baruch Hu b'chas d'agobo gave Tamei mitzvahs as well. We spoke about this a little bit in Shia this year. Moshel Mot HaVadoymeh, the word that the Rishayim used to describe reasons for mitzvah, tami mitzvah. Tami means taste. The primary reason why we eat, or at least why we should be eating, has nothing to do with taste. The primary reason why we should be eating is because we need nutrition. Without nutrition, we cannot survive. Therefore, we need our proteins, and we need our fats, and we need our carbohydrates. Maybe too many carbohydrates we get, maybe too many fats we get, but we need the right amount of all these things. Otherwise, we can't live. Listen, Rachman Litzlan doesn't have the right nutrition, is going to die. So Kadosh Baruch Hu b'chachmasa created a world. We need our amino acids, and we need our lipids, and we need our breakdown of for our cells to be able to, the mitochondria and the cells, I don't know what I'm talking about, whatever I remember from ninth grade bio, that we all know we need the foods. Without the foods, it's not going to work. If you starve your fast tightness for 10, you're not going to live. So we know that the real purpose of food is to help us live. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have created food that tastes miserable. He could have created food that is no totally bland. Could have created food with no taste. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the world COVID a little bit. Some people had that unique experience to understand what it means to eat without tasting. It's a mind-boggling concept. But that's, in theory, what the world could have been like. Nothing could have tasted good. I mean, we still had to eat. Because we know that never, if we don't eat, we're not going to live. So we would be forced to sit down. Can you imagine forced to sit down and eat breakfast every day to eat something that has no taste whatsoever? I tried it the other day because we ran out of some of the yummy cereals in the house. So we had some of this one shredded. It was like sitting and eating cardboard. Mom is eating cardboard. Imagine eating cardboard every breakfast. Imagine sitting down for lunch and eating cardboard. And eating cardboard for the, like, what am I going to do? I don't have the cardboard. I'm not going to live. It would be a miserable experience. Who would be ordering at 11 o'clock, pizza and shawarmas for motorcycles? From Tibet Meir. I don't want to bring back any sad memories for people. Maybe we'll start that heel, start having night deliveries there. Shouldn't be that hard to pull off, okay? That's the next Google of our Kola. We'll try to figure that out. Okay. So Rabbi Sai, food didn't have to taste good. And Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Gevalt Chesed. He said, you know what? My dear children, it's on me not only am I going to give you nutrition, it's going to taste good. You're going to enjoy it. It's okay. The sesame chicken tastes good. It's good. It's kishmak. Now, unfortunately for us, there's usually a reverse corollary between how healthy the food is and how good it tastes. Generally speaking, the better tasting food is the worst for you. That's a technical detail in today's world. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu created really yummy food, even forget about the artificial worlds of today. Sweet potatoes are really good. They're really sweet. Believe it or not. Okay, broccoli is a little less, but sweet potatoes are good. Kadosh Baruch Hu created good tasting, healthy food. Why did he do that? That's what Tavei Mitzvah says. Don't think that Paradum is all about a nice, cute marshal, about a baby, a calf, and a cow. That's not where it's really at. It's really at Gezeri, Amayit Yechav Yechakim Emeni. Don't think Kishof is just a nice, it's like opening up a Sefer Mesos Yisharim Rosh Hashanah. It's much, much more than that. But it's also like reading Mesos Yisharim Rosh Hashanah. And that's okay. And as the Rambam says, Roy Lodim Shiz Beinim Medini Yatayra. And the more a person is mizbayin medinia terah, the more appreciation will have for medinia terah as well. And Rabbi Yisai, it all boils down to ushmar dem. And the way to go, the only way to do it, is more and more libra terah. The deeper and deeper, the more and more we learn sugyas, and the more we acquaint ourselves with the chokmas Hashem is barach, the more we delve into the medinia of the terah kadosha, the more we'll fall in love with the mitzvah terah. The greater our shmir will be, the greater our seal will be as well. So with Hashem. Continue our limud, Baruch Hashem. I think we could say we got off to a phenomenal, phenomenal first week. Really, really, Baruch Hashem. I can't even believe it's been, it's a joke, we've been learning a week already. It's like time flies. So it's amazing. Baruch Hashem, we really, really, really got off to a wonderful, wonderful start. We still got a little bit left of Zechiah to take us out. Hopefully, Baruch Hashem, Sunday we'll get strong, get into the next sugya ready, Rabbi Sai. Both of those who are with us live, those who are with us zooming, get into the next sugya ready, Baruch Hashem. And we get into sugyas of Hochin b'din Farsha Sacharoi, which is Karler, Hochin b'momen Sacharoi, heavy duty stuff coming up on Sunday. So whereas the first week was brought to us by the Sefer Ktzos, we're going to have a big change next week. So we brought to us by the Sefer Sheh Shmaitzah, also written by the Ktzos. So he becomes he's the one who calls the shots and the sugyas of Einoch and Mamach Harayv and Hochav Nid Fash Tacharayv. Hopefully Hashem, that'll be the beginning of the week, and then we're going to move on a little bit, hopefully Hashem, as the week moves on next week, to get into the sugyas of Reidev, into Bab Machteres, into the part of the Tzermer that most people start with, and Hashem will get full steam ahead of Hashem into next week, okay? So wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Hashem will see everybody bright and early again, 9:15 on Sunday for Seder, and then Shia should be with Hashem at 12 o'clock. Okay, happy Shabbos to everybody.
Shabbos.
Yeah. You heard a little bit of this.